Let us pray. Our loving Father, how great you are and how great it is to be here in your home. Though your Son lives in us, we are just so thankful to come into this place and to worship your holy name. May your will be done this morning as we open the word and learn from the wisdom you have imparted to us, but also please be with those who are still on their way, for we look forward to sharing the word of life with them too. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Good morning, church. Today's scripture reading will be found in Proverbs 23, verse 7. It says, "For as he drinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." Amen.
Buenos días y feliz sábado. Gloria a Dios. Good morning and happy Sabbath, and glory be to God. You know, I start my sermon off with the two languages, right? Dos idiomas. Because last night an amazing experience happened for me. It was really reinforced and just affirmed to me the message that I wanted to share, not only for all of you, but also for myself this morning, one about attitude and mindset. So last night, or yesterday, things didn't quite go as expected. Had a hectic morning, a hectic afternoon. There was just so much to do. From the beginning of the day, I had to drive 30 miles to pick up my daughter from high school, to go to the store, buy a bunch of camp food for my children. They were going to a Pathfinder camp this weekend. Drive 30 miles back to go pick up the two younger ones at their school. And then rush home, even though we should have left at that moment, rush home to get them changed, to get the items that were already out into the car, and oh yes, pack that food and divide it up by meal into their containers that need to be waterproof. Why? Because they're canoeing for miles on a river to their campsite, to go canoe some more to the next campsite, to canoe some more to get picked up. And oh, by the way, I had to be there at 1:30, and there was no way I could get there until any earlier than 2, if everything went right. There was a lot of stress and a lot of chaos and a lot of things going on. But in the midst of that chaos, myself and my children, we found a way not to crumble and to keep going through our attitude. But that was just the beginning, because then on the way home, I finally met back up with my wife, who had a busy, crazy, chaotic week. And we had plans, since it was still kind of early and no children around, maybe we would go out for dinner. Things just didn't go. We had a surprise come up. Things got canceled. We weren't able to do that. We couldn't go to Worcester like we had hoped, because there was a preacher that's here locally, and the sermons are in English and Spanish. Fascinating. We couldn't go. So we're home. Things didn't go as we wanted. A little down. But I remember turning to my wife, and I said, you know, let's not let this destroy our moment of peace and sanctuary, right? Then I'm sitting there, you know, I'm the one giving advice, trying to help her out, because she was really bummed out about the situation. And then all of a sudden, I hear something. I'm like, hey, what is that? She found a live stream for the sermon we wanted to go to. But it wasn't exactly how I wanted. I'm just sitting there kind of like, you know, I don't want to listen to it now. I'm not there. But I was like, all right, Lord, you know, you're right, I give in. Put everything aside, sat down, and it was just like a blessed and amazing message. But the point is to get through all that craziness, which I just shared with you, which is a whole bunch, and to sit down and be in a spot to receive that wonderful gift, even though there was a little audio issue every now and again. It was all about mindset. It was all about attitude. It could have been so easy, and it almost did, just to have a nasty out attitude and not receive that blessing. But that didn't happen. We were able to receive it, and we had a wonderful night, I believe, and a night that prepared us for this wonderful Sabbath day. So this morning, I would like to share with you all, if you don't mind me just getting my electronic notes available for me to see. I'm still getting used to it. You know, today I just thought of the first time that I actually could make the letters bigger so I can see it. You know, I was thinking, man, I'm going to need a magnifying glass. But no, actually, you can change the font. So the power of attitude. Let me ask you, what impressions do you want people to have of you? Wouldn't you say that's important as Christians, as the light bearers of the world, the salt of the earth? What impressions do you want people to have of you? What is your attitude? See, when someone mentions your name, what is the first adjective that people use to describe you? So, according to Success Magazine, and this is fascinating. Now, this is from a worldly perspective, but we know that Christ gives us a deep scriptural basis for attitude, but I just want to share this with you. It says, we all have a choice. We can choose an inner dialogue, right, of self-encouragement or self-motivation, or we can choose one of self-defeat and self-pity. It's a power that we all have. Each of us encounters hard times, hurt feelings, heartache, physical or emotional pain, or even, like I just shared, stressful, time-constrained situations where you just really can't see through it, and it's just tough. But the key is to realize it's not what happens to you that matters. It's how you choose to respond. You have power over that. I have power over that. Christ gives you the power to respond. You see, think of it another way. Your mind, right? Think of it as a computer. You know, the Bible cautions us to guard our what? To guard our minds, right? To watch what we allow into our eyes, into our ears, or what comes out of our mouths. Dwell upon the things that are righteous. See, think of your mind as a computer that can be programmed, right? You can pick the software that goes in this computer. What kind of software do you want? Do you want to install productive, positive software or unproductive, negative software filled with viruses? You see, that inner dialogue, the thoughts of the mind that you have going on inside, they determine your attitude, how you present yourself to the world, but you have control over that programming. Whatever you put into it is going to be reflective to what comes out. Wow. See, think of it like this. Now, there have been many studies on this, and I've looked at this. Successful people, and I'm speaking in a worldly sense, because when people are like, oh, wow, how do all these successful businessmen and all this do that? Well, there's a common trait that we can look that they use, but we could use it in a spiritual sense. So we can use it to even more powerful effect. They share something in common about their attitude. The attitude of accepting when they fall short, accepting failures, and learning from it. Not breaking down and dwelling on the negative or dwelling on the problem, but dwelling on the solution and an action forward. They will think of things before it happens and make it reality. Think of it as backwards planning. And this is a concept that they ingrained in me even in the military, so I know it from a biblical point of view, a personal military point of view, and then also in the sense of the world's successful person's point of view. What it is you see the result, you see where you want to go, and now you plan from that result all the steps backward until you're here. You don't think about all the things you have to do and get burned down. No, this is the result. And what do I need to do along the way till I get to myself? Okay, I got my next step. You've already visualized where you will be, and you have that plan of action to do it. Backward planning. However, here's what's interesting. So you have an attitude of you see the result, you see the goal, you're in control of your mind, you're going to go get it. However, it's so easy to get caught on something else. Some people think that the whole world stinks no matter what. You know, especially when I was younger, I had an issue with negative thinking, having a negative outset or a negative expectation to what's going to come. Well, probably because I struggled mightily in school as a child. Probably because I was received plenty of negative reinforcement at home. You know, it's a habit and it's an easy trap to fall into. Negative expectation often turns into a negative reality. But in the world, there are some people who think, eh, this is nasty, it stinks no matter what. They're never happy. Have you ever been, think of this, in work or in school, because some of us are in one or the other, have you ever been to the break room or the lunch room where there's just that one person that's complaining no matter what? It doesn't matter if they're financially blessed or not. It doesn't matter if they're doing well in school or not. They're just always complaining about something, no matter the day of week or the time of day, they have something nasty coming off their tongue. And does it just stay within them? No way. It spreads. It's contagious. It's like a virus that just blossoms and grows out of control. It's like a disease. And it just feels like the energy is being sucked out of the room, being sucked out of you. So my question is, and these are, I guess, follow-on questions, right? What is your attitude in the workplace or at school or at home or wherever you might be? Are you a giver? Am I a giver? See, these questions aren't just for you. They're reflexive toward myself also. Am I a giver of good energy and positivity? Are you a good giver of energy and positivity? Or are you sucking it out of your colleagues? Are you sucking it out of your classmates or your friends? I have an illustration of this concept, of the negative mindset and negativity. Just think about, there was a grandfather, right? He went down one evening to take a nap, and his grandson had a great idea. I'm gonna go to the fridge. I'm gonna go get the nastiest, smelly cheese, because he had, you know, some of those, especially in Europe, they make those cheeses that are really, I guess they call it sharp. They smell, have an interesting character to it. I guess they taste good. I don't know. I haven't found one that I liked. Anyhow, he took a little bit, and he had a nice, thicker than mine mustache, kind of snuck it in there, right? So he thought he was gonna be funny. All of a sudden, you know, the grandpa is, he's sleeping, and he wakes up. He's like, oh, it smells in here. Open the windows. You know, so his grandson, he's opening the windows. Like, oh, no, that's not it. He's like, oh, this room smells. And he goes out into the greeting room, the parlor there, and he's like, oh, it smells in here too. What is it? He's like, I can't tell. I got to go outside. He opens the door and he goes outside. Oh, this whole place stinks. But little did he know that it was within himself was the stench. The problem was right under his nose. 95 times out of 100, when we begin to feel life stinks, not every time, but most of the time, in my opinion, the problem is not with the world or with others, but with ourselves. The problem is that our attitude or our outlook has become negative. Can you change negative attitudes to positive ones? Absolutely. Through all things are possible with Christ. And if you can change your attitude from negative to positive, you can truly change the world. You know, this is a saying I heard. I have no idea who said it. I have no idea where it came from, but it's just something I've heard many times in life. Someone said that attitude, not aptitude, determines one's altitude in life. That your mindset, not your ability, is going to determine your course of life. What a different life one might live if Christ is at their helm, steering the course of your life. If we allow our minds to dwell upon Christ and Him crucified on the cross, what the Son of God gave for us to even have the ability to choose this day whom we serve. He gave us these wonderful gifts that are between our ears and behind our eyes. Imagine what we can do. We've done great things without Him, but what can we do with Him? You see, with so many things going on in the world, it's no surprise why everyone's negative and full of anxiety and depression. I mean, you can't help but turn on the news. And this is true more so than any time I can even think in my life. You can't help but turning on the news without hearing about some political division, storms around the world, some crises or famine and wars, or about some unfortunate person and bad circumstances and the stresses of everyday life. It's amazing. I work in a restaurant, and my boss is dead set on leaving the news channel on all day, every single day, and I'm trying to teach him about negativity. You want people to come in and have a positive, welcoming, fun experience. Yes, it might be interesting. However, it's just 95% negative. That negativity infects your customers that come in and infects you. And it's overall bringing a different type of experience than you want in your establishment. Attitude is so powerful. So for today, and be ready because they're going to be quick and they're going to be to the point and powerful, I want to share three facts about what the Bible has to say about attitude. Are you ready? The clock, there used to be a clock there. Okay, there it is. I promise I'll get you out of here in time for your lunch. It won't be cold. Fact number one, your attitude, this one's tough, reveals the real you. When things aren't going right, when the winds blow a little bit, your attitude reveals the real you. Understand, your attitude is much deeper than a few thoughts. It's deeper than a few thoughts that you might think or not think, right? Your attitude comes out from the core of the fiber of your person, of who you are. Your attitude represents your disposition, your outlook, your inner character. It shows and reveals who reigns in your life. Think back to Proverbs 23:7, our scripture reading for today. What did it say? For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. You see, our disposition, our attitude, the things that come out from within inside, they are a free glimpse to what's going on inside your inner core. Is it Christ that reigns there and comes off out of our mouths, or is it something else? It's not something to be scared of. It's not something to break down of. Oh, I'm a terrible person. Yes, we are all naked, blind, and wretched in the needing of a Savior. Amen. When we act as we not, or when our attitude is not as it should be a reflection of our need and dependence on Christ. And amen, he is there to not only deliver you, but to empower you to effect change from the inside out. Also, I would like to turn you to Matthew. See, the book of Matthew, this one's good. Chapter 15. So if we go to Matthew chapter 15, we're going to go to verse 18. It's amazing what the power of word is, amen? Not only do they reveal your character or what's going on the inner side, but the impact towards others. Words can be such a powerful sword. Matthew chapter 15, verse 18, the word of the Lord says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. They defile the person. You see, yes, in this particular chapter and instance, that they are talking about a bigger, different concept, but in isolation, these words in this verse is repeated throughout the scripture. What comes out from within comes out through the mouth, and it is a visual and audible representation of what's on really in here. So when you wake up late in the morning and you're stressed out and you say some unkind words, it's reflective of whom in the moment is reigning in your heart. Just think of the disciples on that stormy evening, right? And in Galilee, right? They were out there. Jesus is snoozing, and they're all afraid and worried, and they have Christ in their midst. Just like we have Christ as Christians, he's in our midst. He can live in our hearts. But when the wind blows, are we at peace like Christ was? Oh, we frantic like the disciples. And what's amazing is that if we find ourselves frantic like to the disciples, just like they turned to him, so we can too. Fact number two.
So what was fact number one? Our attitude reveals what? The real you. And if it reveals a need for Christ, amen, because we need him for all. Fact number two, your attitude determines the success and failure of every relationship in your life. What a difference an attitude truly makes. Think about it. Your attitude, your outlook, your mindset, that energy, that vibe that you give out. And just imagine the energy that Christ gave out. Without saying a word, he attracted crowds. Everybody wanted to see him. Those who needed to be healed and those who didn't. The rich and poor alike. The sinners and the sinless, they all pursued him. But what energy do we get off? Our attitude affects every relationship in our life. Think about it. Sometimes relationships will never get started. Those friendships or bonds will never begin because our attitude in a certain moment has built a wall. Like, think about it. Have you ever just had a bad day at work and just something went wrong and intentional or not, you just had this just wall up, this... things aren't going right, and you got your head down and going. And that might have been just the first day someone new just started, and they're like, ooh, I'm going to watch out for this person. You don't know it. You're just going through your life just dealing with something. But, man, that energy that we give off going through our daily routine has an impact on others, whether we intend it or not, whether we're going through a hard time or not. It's important because so many times in our lives, our attitude does build walls. And it makes it difficult for people to be around us. Bad attitudes affect, and we know this is true, marriage relationships, relationships with our children, our coworkers, our friends at work, our friends at church. How many times have there been a tough church board meeting? Our tough school board meeting, or maybe tough decisions where we've all had to come together and decide how to resolve this 10th time failed leaking roof. Tempers can come up, different stances can be taken. But in what spirit do we come and tackle these problems? Our attitude impacts these relationships. Think of it like this. I have an illustration I'd like to share. Imagine we have a jar of water, right? And we put the cap on, but it's not tight all the way. And inside we have water. So we'll call that water our attitude, right? And the storms of life come. Let me start over. We have our jar. We have the water that's inside, and we have the cap, and it's not tightened all the way. This cap is our attitude, but the water inside is the essence of who we are, right? And the storms of life come and we shake it. What's going to happen to this water jar that we're shaking and shaking and shaking that this top's not on tightly? What's going to happen to the water? It's going to spill out. It's going to pour out. And what kind of water do we have inside? Is it of the negative type? Or is it of the positive? See, when the winds of life blows and it starts to leak and it starts to pour out, what are we sharing? What are we leaving in the world? To our spouses, to our friends, to our church families, to our coworkers, to our children. You see, the thing that makes the bad attitude so destructive, it's that when it's let out of the jar, it affects others, and it turns into negative actions, destructive words, and destructive deeds. So I ask you, what is your attitude with family members? Are you the light of the world in the midst of trouble? Or are you the cause of strife because of your attitude? And this feels like a daily discussion within my family. Because, you know, with siblings and even with teens and preteens, the parents, there's a source of contention and disagreement, right? But through our attitude, are we picking? Are we still picking at that scab? Are we causing those negative interactions? How do we handle these situations? Are we causing strife, or are we bringing an attitude of peace? And that brings us to our third fact. Attitude is always your choice. You see, without a doubt, the human mind is the most awesome creation of God. I mean, if you've ever can just unpack the mind and just have an understanding of the amount of neurons, the amount of brain cells that are in there, just the depth and the complexity of that area, oh my goodness, it would blow your mind away. I can remember we went to the National Zoo in Washington, D.C., and they had replicas of brains in bronze, all up, different amazing animals and species all up there. They were beautiful and amazing, but when the human brain was up there, just the amount of folds, and because the folds represent the amount of dense packing of material, our minds were made by the hand of God. They are amazing. And with it, God's given us the ability to think, to reason, to choose, whether we will focus on the positive thoughts or on the negative. You see, in every one of our lives, there is positive and the negative. So the choice is which one will we focus on and feed and nurture. That is up to us. See, it's not just a saying, do you see the jar half full or half empty? How you see the jar is going to impact you going forward. And on this thought, I just want to leave you with, and my wife gave me this, so this is just amazing. It's a movie, but through this illustration, it will show you exactly what we're talking about, how attitude's a choice. It's a movie that was, it's in Italian, and it's called Beautiful Life. Now, here's what's interesting. So here it is. It's an Italian Jewish family. The Nazis came on the door and knocked. They were going to take the husband and the son away. The wife didn't have to go because she wasn't Jewish. She refused. She's like, no, I am going with my family. She didn't know where they were going. So they got onto the train and they went for a ride. Now, what she didn't know is the fact that when they arrived at their destination, they were split up and they never reunited. Let's go back a step. The father, he had this just amazing dynamic attitude of positivity no matter what. He turned to his little boy who was about 5 or 6 years old, really young, and he decided, I do not want his mind to be destroyed. He must grow up correctly, no matter the circumstance. So he encouraged his son, come on, we're going to go onto this train. We're going to go on a trip. We're going to have a fun vacation. And the whole time that they're going there, he's playing games. He's interacting with them. Even after the mother was separated and they finally arrived at the work camp, concentration camp, because this was one where they actually worked them for a period of time until they couldn't work anymore. So they got there, and they had to make license plates. And every day that he took them, see, his son had no idea. His father would skip his meager portions and meals and would give it to his son so his son could eat. Every day they went, and they had to go make their license plate. He's like, all right, this is the game. We're going to see who can make more, who's going to win. And every day he turned this horrific experience, but he chose how he was going to live it. It didn't change the circumstances of what he was going through, but it completely changed his reality of going through it, but more importantly, how did it impact his son and his mental development and growth? And the same thing I want to ask all of us this morning, as we go through our own negative aspects or negative circumstances in life, or we go through our daily toll in this world, we too can choose an attitude of Christ. We can have the mind of Christ in us on a daily basis. And if you ever wonder, is it possible to have the mind of Christ in difficult circumstances, all you have to do is open the Bible and look at any point in our Savior's lives up to the very end on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In the worst of circumstances and the precipice of being separated from his father, he had it in his heart to pray for those who were doing the worst to him. That is the attitude that we can have through him. We can pray, Father, give me, according to your will, that mind, that presence, and that peace that is in your son. Give to me what what Jesus so freely offers. In the worst of conditions, we can choose to have the mind of Christ. You see, our attitude, our presence, should be a light to others. Amen? Are we being a light to others? Are we being a light to others that burns through our attitude? Or are we snuffing the light of others out because our negativity steals all the oxygen in the air? I ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. It's one of the verses from the Beatitudes. Matthew 5, 16. And Jesus, in one of his most famous sermons, gave us some words, gave us some instruction as to our attitudes, as to the course of our lives, as to that light he gives us. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." There are things in this world, and we're coming to an end here, that can get us in a bad mood. Absolutely. We can wake up late. There could be that wonderful Worcester traffic in the morning or at 5, or that traffic on the Pike if you're trying to get somewhere, or forbid you're trying to go anywhere toward the east, towards Boston, right? Maybe you didn't get the job you wanted. Maybe your relationships aren't going well. But we also have things that should brighten our minds, brighten our days. We woke up to see another morning. We have food or a roof over our head. We have a job, even though it's not the one we want. We have a family that cares about us. And most importantly, we have a God that gave his only begotten Son, that all who shall believe shall not see death, but have everlasting life. We have a God that takes care of our burdens and knows our need before we even ask. We have a hope. And if we have hope, then these words ring true from Romans 15, 13, and I leave you with this. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that he may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that this hope and the presence of Christ may abide in your hearts, and that he might be reflected through our attitudes, and that we can share it to others and be a light in this world. Amen. Heavenly Father, hallelujah. Christ lives in our hearts. Thank you so much for giving such a wonderful gift of love. Words cannot express. Father God, we just humbly come before you. We have fallen short of your glory, and we are desperate in need of a Savior. We just ask that Christ may abide in our hearts now, tomorrow, and forevermore, and that when anyone comes across us, may we reflect your wonderful glory and majesty, that peace and love that can only come from your throne, that we can see through your Son at Calvary. Bless those who depart here today. May your will be done in their lives, and may our attitudes, our outset, and our minds be a light to this world, to our friends, to our families, to our coworkers, to our children, to anyone we come across. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.